I still don't know how to play that.
That's a Doctor Who reference, by the way, Amanda.
It's not. She doesn't watch that anyways.
No.
Do you?
No.
Oh, which means she didn't get my TARDIS joke earlier.
Oh. I get it now that
she gets that we're all fucking nerds, though.
Yeah. I mean,
all right, so are we starting?
Oh,
would
are
you
we?
Like to open us up, O'Neill?
I'd like
as
to open
customary
you up.
On every Festivus.
Happy birthday, clown.
Yeah. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Oops, We Broke the Multiverse. And today, we are doing a special episode. It is called Oops, We Broke the Wrap-Up Episode. That's what we're calling it now, because no one gave me any options.
We'll brainstorm that later.
We talked about it so much, and that never came up. It's so weird.
I mean, just like your video idea.
Yeah. I wanted to videotape us wrestling, shirtless, what?
But he did get a pool, and there's no bucket of KY.
Yeah, that's not happening.
KY. So I shot that shit down immediately.
What is this, a fucking ICP concert? Calm down.
Why, did you bring the Faygo?
Oh, I was trying to think of the name of that stupid soda. And
thanks
with
to
me,
all our Patreon supporters who are clowns. I don't know.
Should I pull up our list so we could just thank them all at the same time?
I already have it
I
up on my brand new laptop.
Oh,
yeah, there
fancy.
You go. We should thank each and every one of them because they supported us even though it was our first campaign and we weren't that entertaining. This is where they see, oh, of course you were. And you know.
Yeah.
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 Starting off, Misty Figs, brand new as of the day before my birthday, which was August 19th that she
you
signed up.
You mean today?
No, that yesterday
you
was
mean
my birthday.
Yesterday?
Oh, my God.
It was your birthday?
Moving on, we have Justin Michael Van Patten. Thank you so much for your donation. Then the big dick Rick Keller coming in next. Justin Telesio, a.k.a. Sean Cruz's new YouTube partner. You can catch them on the YouTube channel, Agents of Averageness. Tony Grove coming up next.
He figured it out.
Oh,
my
he
dad.
Did?
Oh, yeah.
He figured this out like...
Yeah, a while ago.
June.
Go, Tony.
You guys just keep making fun of him. I don't know why.
I don't.
I figured it's been 6 months and he still doesn't know how to listen to us.
Yeah, like...
No, he still doesn't.
He doesn't like us,
but he still supports us.
Oh, okay.
He likes me.
I know he likes you. He doesn't like our podcast.
He's obligated to like you.
Yeah. And then, of course, our friend Kane. And then my mom, Rhonda. Thank you very much, Mom.
Hi, Rhonda.
Rhonda,
she broke the mold and didn't... What? What are you mouthing?
Nothing.
Mom, he just mouthed SSF.
No.
You should come over and punish him.
What?
Saying bad words.
What does SFS mean?
Anyways, moving on, we have James Chavez. Thank you very much.
Jaime.
Jaime Chavez.
Is that the guy who gave me candy?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, one of
yeah.
the guys. Ain't that right, Sean?
Hey!
Don't tell me it was out of a windowless van.
Now, he is a proprietor of Latin Sweets. It's awesome.
It's awesome.
Delicious.
And, of course, my buddy Drew. Thank you, Drew. Then that's a Padlin.
That's me. You're welcome, fuckface.
That's Sean. That's a Padlin. That's Sean.
Yeah, it's a Padlin.
For some reason, it goes by that's a Padlin. And then, of course, Jamie from work. Thank you, Jamie. Thank you guys all. From the bottom of our hearts, coming from Sean Cruz to my right, Anne Marie across the table, Anthony O'Neill across from me, and of course, Anthony Gabba, who is I.
Sure, it's your birthday. You can be whoever you want to be.
Yeah, I'm you from now on. Mm. I'm taking your Honda home.
Don't touch my fucking car.
Yeah.
It is a Hyundai, not a Honda.
Hinda.
Nobody cares about cars. Yeah.
Anyways.
As a Honda owner, I'm offended.
Any hoosers. Well, I mean, there's a big H on the back of it. I mean, Honda, Hyundai.
I don't see two LeBarons, Freddy. I see one LeBaron.
Anyways, back to our podcast about wrapping up the first season. How'd you guys like it? Did you guys have fun? Did you... Any constructive criticism? Not about the game, but about us. So we all know about the fucking coin system. Okay, we know.
All right, I'm sorry, okay.
What about us as like a group? What's some constructive criticisms that you had about the group?
I mean,
Like, to the, is that posed to the listener or to us?
To us table? As a person.
Okay, well, okay.
They're not part of, like, we do have one listener in our group. This is Amanda to my right, the gorgeous and amazing Amanda. Not a special guest, though. That's clearly just Anne.
You guys can never break up because we're not editing.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's permanent now.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
You're stuck.
I thought, so sometimes we were a team, but I feel like Mr. X wasn't a team member. Oh, shots fired.
Yeah, but I was role-playing my character.
Oh, that's the worst excuse in any role-playing game ever.
This guy, like,
I fucking hate playing with those people.
Okay,
he just throws a bomb into all of our plans sometimes.
So you guys, that's some very good criticism, but I did say constructive. You see what I did there?
That's
called constructive criticism about constructive fucking criticism.
Oh, well, I am very talented, and I made it still work.
Yeah, now I feel like a piece of shit, and I don't want to do this anymore. So I'm stopping the recording, and we're done.
I just got Amanda, hired.
Amanda, you know how to use a computer?
No, and actually, just sitting on the sideline because you weren't fucking me over. I don't feel like you were that destructive.
You weren't terrible. No, I'm just saying. I was just like three wet holes. I will I will forever just be angry about that.
I mean, it's going to be a T-shirt.
Yeah,
and it's going to and it's going to look
antidote
like
is time.
Yeah, and it's going to look like it was done in crayon.
Yes.
And it'll have the little stick figure diagram.
Can the antidote is time have like T-H-Y-M-E crossed out and then just put time? Just to fucking confuse people more.
Yeah.
Episode one, right? You guys all remember episode one where we come in, our group is introduced for the second time, for the first time.
Yeah.
Well, we technically played an episode before.
How we were like forced ourselves to be.
Why didn't we
Mr.
use
Xers?
That one?
Well, you guys had different names.
I don't even remember now.
You guys didn't like
we
your
had
names.
Different names. Sean went on this big tirade about, you know, racism. It was just not a listenable episode.
Like, you were like, my character has no name. And you're like, how do you, what do people call you, no name?
Nanami. I think I made that same joke.
And then O'Neill's character had a different name as well.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, it was hard to pronounce. Migachu Shinu.
It felt like still just a practice episode, really. It was sloppy, and we were just like, hey, this isn't the quality of shit we want to put out. And we said, let's just scratch out. We'll use everything that happened as canon, but we won't, you know, let people hear it.
Yeah. And so it really, like, one of the draws about it, too, is, like, you listen to our first episode, and it starts off with, now, last time, and the listener goes, wait, what the fuck did I miss?
Oh,
what
happened? That's right.
Is this episode zero? But in reality, it's just an episode that you'll never hear unless you pay us enough money.
One issue I did have with myself, I didn't really keep track of my experience, so I feel like I was unqualified in a lot of my areas, so it wasn't rolling very good.
You know, as new players and a new DM, we weren't really like solid on the rules until like the 9th or 10th episode. Like, what was it, episode 8, where we learned what an actual critical was?
Yeah, the two sixes?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it was.
I mean, none of us were really, like, solid on the rules of the game, but we still had enough fun to where it didn't really matter with this game. It did, I mean, kind of come into play, but not so much in the end.
We're not really, like, a rules teaching thing.
Yeah, this is
either.
More for comedy and, like, you know.
Yeah.
Trying to get kids to not do drugs. As we drink excessively.
But, you know, because, you know, at the end of each, like, D&D, like, episode or campaign kind of, like, sections, like, you get this much experience points. You're like, okay, then you plug it into your little thing, and then you upgrade from there. And so this one was definitely, like, self-reliant. Like, hey, you know, you rolled a certain thing, you used one of your skills, so you need a definitely, like, or a friend, a contact.
I easily went 5 episodes and never counted any experience.
Exactly.
And it was like episode 7. I was like, holy shit, I haven't leveled up at all almost this entire time.
Yeah. Well, here's how I feel about that. We're not like, I don't think that's because that's how we played, because we could, if we were just a group meeting every Friday to play some tabletop RPG, I would have made you up, you know, track your XP. But since we're like, hey, this is more for entertainment value, who cares?
Well, yeah, but I see
like we're not going to walk people through how to do that. So yeah. I was like, it's all good. And I don't think we'll even do that in the next game. We'll just like, you know.
Well, but it could also give you like more tools to have fun with.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you guys still took your benefits. you still grabbed your extra shit. You just didn't be like, yeah, I'm okay. Yeah.
I didn't grab my extra shit.
Yeah, you did. You did that thing. Yeah. Anyway,
next time I'm going to grab my extra shit. Cause like Avarice had like, I don't know, like a dozen light dice at one point.
Well,
I swear.
And the crew was upgraded.
Yeah. So that was more of a like extra dice for you thing because you rolled horribly. For us, almost every episode. Every time we had an encounter, it was just like, oh, you rolled a 3. Looks like you guys are desperate. Even though we have this elaborate plan, and it's just like, all right, next time we won't plan as well.
Well, no. That's a very important point. Like, in D&D, the only real fail is a 1.
Yeah.
Blades in the Dark, as we said over and over, is kind of like a, man, we would always just notice, like, man, this game's always trying to fuck you. And that's because the heart of it is you are overcoming the odds, and the odds are always against you.
Yeah.
So I know it seems I'm rolling poorly, but it is a 50-50 chance. You know, yeah. 1 through 3, 4 through 6. But
I kind of liked that. I like when things go wrong, so that's why I don't mind when Mr. X mucks it up a little bit.
You know, we've played D&D with folks, and like it's so satisfying to be like, oh, yeah, I got an 8, and you still hit because you add all your shit. Like it's so easy to just come in and wreck shit. This game is making you get uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And come up with a creative way to solve the problem because now you're fucked. You're always fucked. I thought that was great. And I thought you guys did a great job every time it happened you would figure out a way out.
Like episode 1, we figured out how to like royally unfuck ourselves from like the rest of the season when we said, hey, here's a way for us because every time somebody dies, like the cops are immediately alerted to come get us and catch us and then, you know, take us to prison.
Spirit wardens. Yeah.
Spirit wardens. Sorry, I'm on to the next game now. I don't remember the jargon. like that's like a huge component of this game is like, as soon as you kill somebody, you, spirit wardens come and are alerted to your presence and that you murdered somebody. And we solved that like week 1, episode 1. We're just like, yeah, that's not happening for our crew.
I wish we didn't, though.
Honestly,
looking back on it now, it might have been a lot funner to have to deal with the Death Wardens.
Honestly, it would have, but I feel like this season would have been like 23 episodes of just us getting out of trouble again. Well, we went back to jail. Let's try to get out.
You never went to prison, which is a whole other piece to this game because you actually make contacts in prison and other things can go your way by going to prison. So we didn't even touch on that part of it. And we didn't touch too much into the hideout building, which is a progressive thing that happens throughout for your crew. The way you guys would have leveled up as a crew would have built onto that significantly. Mm-hmm. We played 10, you know, -11 sessions and we could have dove deep into that. But again, you know, it's an entertainment podcast. So I think we captured the fun and the essence of the game well and in an entertaining fashion without having to get too like, this is how it goes, this is the rules, this is black and white, here's how you, oh, we should upgrade right now, we should do this, because I feel like that almost takes from the experience for a podcast at least.
Now I'm gonna just go through every single episode here. Number 2.
You're asking me about shit I don't even remember.
Number 2, there is one significant thing that happened in episode 2. Do you remember it? I'll give you a hint. The episode's name was The Faceless Groom.
Our reoccurring joke.
Sir, yeah. I plead the 5th here. nope, don't recall.
Yeah. So that's one of my personal favorite episodes, just because of like everything that happened in the moment. And you really like take time outside of that to like listen to that over and over and over again. And I realized, like, this is all unscripted. Like, this is all unscripted, and this is funny as shit. Like, it's supposed to be this dark, depressing city where nobody has a chance for anything, and somehow we're making light out of someone getting half their face fucking cut off. are we becoming bad people, or is it just people that are making the best out of like a horrible world?
There was always a little dusk wool in each of us.
Yeah.
Even after this, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I need to be fair. It was right after 2020. So.
Yeah. That's true.
We all got a little messed up, right?
Yeah. But you know what? It's 2021 for another like 4 months.
Oosh.
Yeah.
We need some therapy going on. Anyways, moving on along. Episode 3. does anyone have any comments about episode 3? Like, you, if you remember, the homework was to re-listen to the entire
this
season.
This is one episode, I guess, if we're going to give a shout-out to James, who is not a Patreon subscriber, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, look at you, James.
He couldn't figure it out, like, old man.
What a clown.
He called me one day. And this is what, because we were already recording like episode 6 by the time he called me and said, hey, I just listened to episode 3, which I think we all said was kind of one of our weaker episodes. We felt that way, right?
Yeah.
James called me. He's like, dude, I'm at work. I've got my earbuds in. He's a driver for Pepsi. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I was having a shit fucking day. And I listened to that episode and it had me rolling nonstop. For an episode that we all felt was garbage, or at least not our best work, he thought it was super entertaining and it was his favorite and it was hilarious. We had not a lot of action in that one. It was like a lot of espionage.
Yeah.
And then this weird encounter with an NPC that, you know, didn't bar any huge score. But I guess that tells us that we are entertaining and that it was interesting enough, and that was in the realm of playing Blades in the Dark.
Mm-hmm.
So I think all in all it was a success, and it was funny, and kudos on
yeah
that
good job everyone.
Oh yeah,
was that the episode that we had to do over again, which I'll touch on later, whether it's
no that was five, I think.
Because there was two episodes which we had to do all over again.
Yeah, because my Richard laptop got all fucked up.
So that's when we went onto the boat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And then we had to tie up the
pleasure barge.
The guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
As you were explaining what a Hot Richard was.
Yeah. So episode 3.
Do tell.
Yeah. You wanted to recap on that one, Ann?
So episode 3.
I believe it's when you spoon and then you fart on their dick.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And by the by, we already said that we kept hearkening back to that episode, and it's going to be a t-shirt. So there you go.
So that was one of our first episodes where we had to re-record it, and so it was a little bit more scripted.
Not that one, not number 3.
No,
there was two episodes, wasn't there?
No, just the one.
Just the one.
We just had to redo that one.
We had to redo 5.
Oh, okay, I thought there was two that we had to redo.
Oh, I would have probably thought of way more sex.
No, you're
stuff
thinking
then
of I guess true episode 1.
Oh,
we ran it as a. I remember now. We ran a true episode 1 as a practice game.
Yeah.
And then record it and tried to redo it
again.
Tried
to re-record
and then it just got
it
all
honestly
super fucked up.
And it was dog shit. Yeah. Like it was not good. We were unpracticed. We were untested. Oh, yeah. And we'll get to episode 5 here in a second, but honestly we did so much better with episode 5 on the re-recording than we did. And we planned things out, and it went. It was hilarious. Like one of my, my second favorite episodes so far.
Mm-hmm.
It's episode 5. But back to going in order, The Ballad of Sidecar Bob, episode 4.
You got fucked on that one.
Yeah, that was hilarious though. I do enjoy getting screwed over for comedy. I don't want to say get fucked for comedy because that sounds bad. But
you wanted to fight.
Like, tragic.
Yeah.
You wanted to be the gladiator so damn bad, and you got screwed out of it.
Yeah.
It was really funny.
Yeah. It was hilarious. And Floydman Sumner, honestly, that was a tremendous special guest that we had on there. And thank you so much, Floyd, for coming in and doing this for us.
Big time.
Great episode. So much energy. And it really just livened up the episode. And we realized, moving forward, hey, let's get some people to come do voices for us during
some
of our episodes, you know. And, we had, of course, Floyd. And our first time having a special guest, we learned a lot of things.
What are you talking about? We've had one all this time.
having two
as I raise my hand,
having two special guests, but it was our first time having a special guest without having enough microphones, so like Sean had to like kind of go back and forth between like having talking and everything. So that was something that we learned early on, that it's important to have enough microphones if we're gonna have enough guests.
Oh, we solved that about a week later.
Yeah, a week later we get like 17 new microphones and we're well in the red for our podcast, but hey, we're having a lot of fun.
Whatever.
See, Mom? It does work.
I wouldn't have bought it if I couldn't afford it.
Yeah, true. That's why we have second jobs.
And that's why I can't get a babysitter. I bought nice mics.
Moving on, episode 5. That was the one we had to redo. That was the Eruvian torture technique.
Ah, yes.
And yeah.
Trigger warning for some people, a.k.a. my mom. Who texted me and she was like, you cut your fucking toenails on him? Gross.
I
would rather you be jacking off all over town, putting your dick in any little glory hole you want, but putting your feet on, gross.
Yeah. Any mama would be super proud of their boy jerking off all over town, but cutting toenails. I thought that was genius because I was like, that's cringeworthy shit.
Yeah.
And you nailed it, because I know there's people out there like, oh, come on, dude.
Jerk off some more, at least.
That's another, I compare that one to Hot Richard, because it was more of a Tarantino-esque episode where basically all the action happens in one room for most of the episode.
Yeah.
And then we go to the Archive of Echoes for a quick, hey, let's, you know, how's your mother? And then come back. Like, it wasn't super action-packed, and I know you guys tried to make it action-packed. It just, there was nothing there. Some of these episodes are just, hey, we got to set the table here so that we can eat a buffet tomorrow.
Yeah.
But you did great. You made it entertaining, and, you know, it moved it along. And I think the re-recording on that actually turned out really well.
Yeah.
It did.
It was phenomenal. Like, we were much more practiced and everything, so.
Yeah, I liked it better the second time.
We thought of more torture techniques.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was better. I mean, honestly, like, we were going so dark, and it was just not funny the first time. This one, it's like, oh, just cringeworthy and
fun.
We
did chop a finger off.
Yeah.
When I say we, I mean Mr. X.
And then I wagged it in front of the vampire.
Yeah.
Spoilers. I wish we could have kept that part.
Yeah.
But he couldn't look tortured.
Yeah.
To frame him.
Well, in the long run, it worked out.
They fucked Billy up. By the way, listener, you don't even know this. They fucked Billy up.
Oh, you kept cutting
him. Tell them what you did to him. Tell them what you did to him, because they don't ever hear it.
Spoilers.
That episode's already out.
What one?
What are you talking about? Eruvian torture technique. They've already heard the B version of it. What was the A version? What did you guys actually do to Billy?
Oh, man.
When you had free reign?
Let's see. I cut off a finger.
He kept slicing his skin.
Yep.
Oh, that's true. I was slowly slicing little bits of skin off.
I think he became unconscious at some point.
And then
at one point you slapped him.
Oh yeah.
Give him a little slappy slap.
Slap him.
I would like fucking horror movie on his ass.
Slap you again.
And then you took a piece of wood and you hit him in the head to knock him out.
Savage.
Yeah, the good stuff.
With all the poisons around him, and he still picks a piece of wind.
Oh, yeah. We gave Mr. X shit on that one, because we're like, okay, you've got him strapped down in a chair. You can do whatever you want. And you're like, I slap him. We're like, you slap him. Is that so? Okay. Yeah. Ooh, you're crazy.
So the second go through, he definitely thought of more stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone thought of more stuff. We're like,
have it. That. Yeah.
We're like, what can we do where we don't physically kind of harm him too much?
Well, we had like a 45-minute break outside where we were talking about everything, too.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, and Anthony O'Neill. Sorry, I can't just say Anthony.
Yeah.
Anthony O'Neill had a great idea. Like, as soon as we finished that episode, we were all super jacked about it. And this is, mind you, the second time recording it. We're in the kitchen taking a shot or whatever, and he's like, it's called the Eruvian Torture Technique. That is the name of this episode. He, like, crushed it.
I just looked on the map and was like, Eruvia, that's a place? Ancient Eruvian Torture Technique.
Yeah.
That's too long. Eruvian Torture Technique.
Oh, yeah. It sounded great. It's great.
Ricardo Cabeza in the Exploding Corpse.
Why is that funny?
Do you get it, Amanda?
Ricardo all right. Cabeza.
This is
thanks.
Okay.
Thanks for not getting it. As
so
well.
Far, I'm like, hey, episode 2, one of my all time favorites as well. Mm-hmm. I think I
two's
in,
my favorite.
In that episode, I got to be. Oh, I got to be this guy.
Oh,
and I also got to be Captain Krabs. Like yeah. I had like NPC fucking craziness going on. But on Ricardo Cabeza, that one also a lot of NPC work. But just it was funny, and you guys yeah. dug into it, and you had so much fun with it, because we had the torture going on, we had Billy passed out in the basement.
Honestly, like episode 6, I was really drunk for it. Like I got a little bit too drunk. Don't do drugs, kids. Just drink.
Was that the episode that Sean said me and you were too drunk for?
Yeah, yeah. That was yeah. the one where we were a little bit
that's
too
after
drunk.
We had our come to Jesus
yeah.
like, intervention.
Yeah, I don't know why, but we both got. Oh, it's because like it was 4th of July, right? And I lost my wallet that same day, and I was supposed to go to the St. Paul Rodeo with this beautiful lady, and if I didn't have my
oh,
ID,
yeah. hey,
I couldn't fucking go. And so I was super stressed out, so I just started binge drinking.
And I couldn't let him do it alone.
Yeah, and Anna
you're
was
a good
friend.
Friend. And you're a good friend.
Yeah. And so I got Anthony. Super trashed. And for some reason, she didn't get Ricardo Cabeza.
Oh, God.
Okay, well, okay, well, I didn't know
oh,
Cabeza
God.
Meant head.
Mrs.
Head.
Cruz did not get Ricardo Cabeza.
So, Ricardo Cabeza.
We have- hold on, let's test it.
So, Cabeza.
How do you feel about that name?
No, don't tell her, Ann.
Well, I just said what yeah, Cabeza gonna... meant.
Well,
if she was listening, she'd know.
We had like 5 solid minutes of cracking up
so
with that.
So, Ricardo
too.
Is Richard in Spanish. Another name for Richard is Dick. And then Cabeza in Spanish is head.
Okay. Okay. So, you couldn't hear, but Amanda said, okay. That's because we're a bunch of juvenile. She's like, no, I get it. It's yeah, like, it's dick head. Yeah. You guys are so juvenile.
In her head, she's like, how many more minutes is this fucking series? Do I really have to listen to every single season? Oh, God.
Yeah, this
so,
is dick
like,
in
they,
the dark.
These guys got to instantly start laughing, and they're like, yeah. don't tell
boners
her yet.
In the dark.
Let's just yeah. keep waiting. It wasn't until like halfway through the episode, or like at least 10 more minutes before they told me.
Oh, yeah, they told you. Yeah, yeah. They told you.
I was just like...
Because you were getting like visibly mad that you didn't get it.
I'm like... I felt stupid. I'm like, why
and
don't
I was sitting
I
next
that?
To you and I was like, fuck, I better tell her what it is before she yeah. hits me
right,
or
so
something.
Behind the scenes, like I had this character in mind that was like Inigo Montoya from Princess Bride. He was always gonna be that guy. And I swear to God, I had a meeting at work where this guy's like, yeah, I was out with my buddy Ricardo Cabeza playing golf. We call him that because he's a dickhead. And I was like, I'm going to use that. That is his name.
I thought you were my clever husband who came up with that on your own.
Oh, I'm just a fucking thief. Resourceful.
All right. Speaking of thieves, what do you think we are? Thieves? Episode 7, The Cursed Gift, which, as we're recording this, comes out in 3 days. But we'll move on with it. The Cursed
oh, shit
Gift.
And dust.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we're moving into episodes no one's ever heard.
Now, mind you, we could talk about all of them because this won't air until
oh
after
yeah, much
the
later.
Series.
No,
yeah.
I know what this is.
This is that episode.
Oh, I didn't know that. Thanks. I'm only a special guest.
This is yeah, that buffer welcome. Episode, so Anthony doesn't feel so overwhelmed in the next season when we take like 3 weeks off, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh god.
Also, he has to run the campaign. So,
yeah.
I got a lot of work to do.
Yes, you do. You ready to fuck shit up, Sean?
Yeah,
Cursed Gift. What are our thoughts on that?
Do it was we hard remember to title it? That one?
It was hard oh, to yeah. title that one
because, and you and I had Anthony, Gavin, and I had a lot of conversation about it. A lot happened in that episode.
Yes, it did.
We had a nice little cliffhanger before, right? Because remember, they get into the Archive of Echoes, and then it's like,
oh,
and somebody looks up
body.
And dun dun dun, yeah. And then. Wow, you guys covered a lot of ground in one episode. You went through basically the whole damn thing. You ran into a ghost. You wiped out the entire before the cataclysm hall. You killed everybody there. You killed everybody in the Emperor's Hall. You got to the box and understood what it was. And man, all of it.
I mean, so like we're good people.
Oh yeah, they killed a lot of people.
That's all you kept saying. I'm like, mm-hmm.
Almost killed a janitor.
Honestly, I did kill a lot of people. I think
you had your perfect kill in that one. I almost thought maybe we should call this episode the perfect kill, right? Because that's the only one he was going to get, perhaps. Because he probably would have way more if I knew what a crit was back in the day.
Yeah, no kidding.
What did I call it originally? Like awkward silences or something like that?
Something like that,
because while we were recording, everybody was just taking weirdly long pauses in between talking to each other. And I actually kept a lot of it, especially when you were talking to the guard. I put in that awkward music.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
Yeah, you did.
It was like weird fucking polka music.
I think
I'm trying to recreate it now, but people keep talking.
Right now is a good time for us to formally recognize Anthony Gaba as a master at this thing. Here's a guy who's never podcasted before, or let alone edited and mastered a podcast. And I think what you have done, people always say it sounds super produced. It sounds great. Everything fits. You're open to critiques. You listen to your fans and you're like, oh, this is too loud. This is hard to understand honestly, or whatever. Like, and you do a great job, dude.
I'm just winging it. It's absolutely winging it. Watching YouTube videos and learning as I go. There's a difference in editing between episode 1 and episode 10.
Sure. Oh, well, sure. But
actually, 9, I'm actually really proud of 9.
Before we get to episode 9, which we're all very proud of, Voices from Ages Past, episode 8.
Episode 8 is General Kroger. You guys run into the Red Sashes. There's a battle. So,
you had like 2 or 3 historical figures in there.
Okay. Well, I just had General Kroger in there.
The falling of
The other one in there too.
What other one?
Damn it! What the hell's his name?
I just had one.
We had
Malera, my dear.
Malera is the Red Sash.
No, not Malera.
The guy who speaks. There's two
Colonel Sanders. Yeah. You had Colonel Sanders in that one too.
Oh fuck! Well, I haven't listened.
And he told her to fucking surrender.
I know.
And then she just threw him on the ground.
Oh shit! Okay, yeah.
So that's why I called it Voices of Ages Past.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, I'll have to. I think I'm actually in the middle of finishing that one right now. So I'll give you some few. I'll think if I think of anything else, I'll let you know.
I did very good.
I do like.
Episode.
I do like the name for 9 and 10.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I think that was a very...
I thought those were pretty good.
Yeah. I think that was our fightiest episode.
Episode 8, yeah. A lot of fighting.
And we really got into a fun part of Duskfall that the book doesn't really go into a lot, but we made our own way. We made up our own shit. And I think I'm hoping that people listen to that and be like, that's a really cool archive of echoes that they explored. I'm going to use that because there's no other... what I read you in the book is it just says that's where the spirit bottles are kept. I came up with the whole like how it's set up, and you guys helped me kind of shape how intricate it needs to be, and I feel like we really created something. We added to Blades in the Dark right there.
You mean that dick shaped museum?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's real place. Always dick jokes with us.
Yeah, it always comes back to the phallus.
Yes. But no, that one that one was really good. Lots of good fighting in that. We got to see some other gangs involved. We got to see a possession. So we got to see that. Because, I mean, a big part of Blades in the Dark is the ghost world. And because none of you picked a tune as your character type, we didn't really get to dive into it much. If one of you had, then I probably would have thrown in more ghosts into this world, which we still had too. But, you know, yeah, we didn't get to play with that as much as we would have liked.
Okay, episode 9, Off Without a Hitch. Much unlike this episode. what did we think? What did we think about that one? I know it's really fresh in our minds because it happened, a week ago?
We absolutely accomplished our plan, which is why I named it Without a Hitch.
Without a Hitch.
Well, and that was a day where we recorded both 9 and 10 in the same day. We've never done that. And and that's very intimidating. And I feel like you guys crushed it. It was low pressure. It flowed really well. And we weren't too tired or too drunk to do the job.
Oh,
well, we started really early.
Yeah. We didn't start drinking either for a while because of,
Well, we started
pure Sean over there.
We started early, yeah. Like 4 or 5 fans. O'clock.
I had like a water and Mio, and he's like, really, dude, this early? I'm like, bro, it's a water and a Mio. I looked at the vodka and said, you know what? Not today, Satan.
Yeah, very good.
And
very
I get good. Punished for it anyways. It's like I fucking should have.
You created this monster.
I'm over here giggling at my microphone because I took the shot.
Yeah.
And you're like, today, Satan, now.
Episode 10.
Yeah.
No, right at the end, everybody's true personality came out.
You got what you wanted and you dipset.
I tried to fucking leave.
Yeah. I killed not Francis, but I don't have my sheet in front of me.
P.S. I didn't mind you doing that. I was like, you're playing your character, and I felt like that was totally appropriate.
I thought it was appropriate, but at the same time, like, you dickhead. Like, my character would be like, no, bro, we're friends now.
Yeah.
And that, I think.
Yeah, you guys had a problem with him leaving, but he threw, like, a jacket full of explosives right next to my feet.
You're the one that said you could survive anything inside the bubble.
And I did. Ha! But I was still like a little bit worried. Like, come on, dickhead.
No, I think you played your character well. And honestly, it's one of those things where, at the end, right? It is duskful. You are still assholes, and you got what you wanted.
Oh yeah, this whole thing's about deceit. I guess I don't know if it was on mic or if it was just when we were talking. But, like, the whole thing was, yeah, I'm part of this group, but everybody's just tools to get what I want. And when the time comes, I'm out.
I think it was on mic where you said that when we introed Mr. X.
It might have been the first two or three episodes.
I can tell you that Anthony O'Neill made a comment at the very beginning. What episode did we meet Francis? That was in episode one.
Episode two.
Episode one, we met him.
Oh, yeah.
And then episode two, you kind of got to know Francis. And at the end, you know, Fortuna was kind of like really enjoying him. And then you're like, watch, this motherfucker's going to be like the head cheese at the end of this whole thing. So I did write a storyline where Francis was the bad guy. Francis was the baddie, and he was performing the ritual, and he was going to be the one you have to defeat. And it made all the sense because every step of the way he had an opportunity to fuck with you, or it answered some questions of how people knew your every move.
And then I called it out, and so you changed it.
No, negative. It didn't give you enough because, and we saw this in the actual episode, it didn't give you enough to actually fight him. You would have been like, who cares?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, do your thing. I don't care. I got what I wanted. Having Francis be one of the trophies at the end of the day and saving your friend and pulling on your emotional heartstrings a little bit, even though you're all assholes, you know, I feel like helps the story a little better than, you know, making him the big bad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we adopted Francis like in a heartbeat.
Well, maybe not you, because you left him.
Well, in character, no, but outside of the game when we were taking our break, I was all about it.
And for those of you listening who skipped all of our episodes just to listen to the recap,
fuck you and go back.
Yeah, we're not actually going to give you any spoilers, but you do get meet Francis episode two. You're on episode two, aren't you?
Yeah.
Okay, you get to meet Francis and the new one. So, yeah, that wraps up all of our episodes. Sean, did you have something else that you wanted to...
Yeah, let's talk about Blades as a game now, kind of wrapping the whole thing up. So it's based on a crew trying to make their way up the ladder in Duskfall. How do you guys feel your crew, Silent But Deadly, did in that regard?
That wasn't ever really our goal. We weren't trying to be top dog. We did everything we could to stay off the radar. Hence the constant masturbation to avoid the Death Wardens. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like we wanted like coin, we wanted a little bit of rep, but nothing too much so that we could still get what we wanted. I think all of us were like way more slight about it, like, you know, even that was, but we're like, hey, no, let's get what we want, but in a sneakier kind of fashion.
I mean, in a longer campaign, yeah, that would be like our goal, but the fact that this takes place over a span of like a week.
If that
even like
oh,
or like 3 days.
Good point.
Yeah.
I was thinking a month. Yeah. My whole
No, it's just 1 week. It's 1 week in the life of, you know.
It just felt like our goals were like we need to stay unnoticed until we, you know, meet the right people.
Do you feel it would have went differently if you picked a different kind of crew, different kind of gang other than assassins?
I don't think so.
I mean, I feel like our backgrounds is what really defined it.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And you guys came up with great backgrounds.
Like, I wanted my own whorehouse. So I'm like, yeah. So we all just kind of used each other as tools, like Dr. X did.
And mine was really vague because, you know, I didn't really create my character all that well. It was very last second and yeah, blah, 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 blah. So mine was just, I wanted everything this world had to offer. And I feel like I got some of it, but I'm not quite satisfied with that yet. But in, you know, we're only playing 10 episodes of this. So it was like, it's hard to, you know, when you're a character that tries to like exonerate or exemplify greed itself, it's hard to like be like, oh yeah, I'm gonna do this to the best of my ability, I want to become the emperor of this fucking place in like a week, and that's impossible. Like, so it was just like, all right, well, I have taken over the, you know, whatever I did, the Leviathan Hunters guild in
you
a
made
week.
Out pretty well.
You know, I'll be funneling in money and, you know, research and other kinds of shit. And I'll probably hire you to do some things to help make me immortal and all powerful. And yeah, we can go from there. But that's not a 10 episode kind of thing, or a 10 session kind of thing for that matter. That's more of like a long end game. So it's
which
really
is what most people will be doing with this game.
Yeah. So it was really hard to play like my character for his motivations when he was so far. His motivations were so far out that like it was hard for him to like be like, oh, what do I care about this shit?
I like how like my goal in life is to get everything that I could, like, you know, good. And that's what you want to do, is be the emperor. I'm like, I wouldn't want to be a fucking president or anything like that, or a ruler. I'm like, that sounds awful. It's a lot of work. No fun. Like, I just want to get a bunch of money and just do what I want.
Yeah.
That's what I would rather do.
Well, so how did you guys enjoy the gang dynamic as opposed to a party of heroes in D&D? In D&D, you're a party trying to beat some evil. In this game, you were a gang. And in every sense of the word, you were kind of assholes. You were stepping on people. You were murderers.
I liked it.
How was it for you?
Well, in D&D, like, you constantly try to, like, a lot of times you are aligned good, so that way you can go save the realm and stuff. But this one's like, yeah, we're going to do some bad stuff, but it's just going to happen because we are a gang. So that it definitely like let loose some of the stuff where you're like, yeah, let's, you know what, screw it, let's just do it.
Yeah, you're almost rewarded for having your own goals on top of, you know, just the guild stuff. You know, like I had my goals as Mr. X or Dr. X.
Yeah.
But it's not like we're not like a goody two shoes, like, oh, we're going to go out and destroy evil. You know, it's like I've got what I want. I'm going to be selfish about it. And fuck everybody else who gets in my way.
Yeah.
And it like rewards you for doing that.
It does. Yeah.
Honestly, I feel like the role playing when it comes to like our characters getting to know one another, it was so much more in depth in this game than Dungeons and Dragons, where you're just a party of four random heroes who go out to try to kill something to get gold from this
one
guy.
You don't really have to jump into it, do you?
Yeah. Whereas this, it like, you know, we're a gang, so we know each other. We know each other's goals and wants and needs and stuff like that. We had to get to know each other. Our characters were, so it really forces that upon you, and that's one of the interesting things about Blaze in the Dark, is that it's a very intimate heist.
Yeah. Well, let's go around, talk about your character, and I want to know, what did you feel? You all picked a character type, so tell us your character type, and then what was good about that, what was bad about it, and then, is there a different character you may have wanted to try if you were to play this game again? So let's start with you, Anthony. What was
O'Neil,
you? Were
yes.
Anthony O'Neil.
You were
Anthony
Avarice. O'Neil. You were Avarice.
I was Avarice.
And you
I
were
played,
a...
I was a Lurk.
Okay, and a Lurk is...
A Lurk is somebody that's an assassin or someone that like lurks in the shadows. He does most of like the pickpocketing or like, you know, the backstabbing and that kind of thing. I feel like this character, I tried to play it as one-sided as I could. You know, I didn't try to like branch off like Anne did and try to do like a lot of different things. I feel like he could best do what he could do by becoming the best at what he needs to do. Like, he tried as hard as he can just to, like, hide in the shadows as well as he can. So I had, like, four in I don't remember which one it was, but in hide, I had, like, four D6s. In stabbing, I had four D6s. You know, in finesse, I had, like, three D6s. In hunt, I had, like, two D6s. And I had nothing else. I could do nothing else besides these four things. And I feel like that was playing this character to the best of his ability and not trying to get better at anything else until later on when he can go, okay, well, let's do this as a hobby. You know, let's try to do some wreck. But yeah, I feel like this character, it was such a quick thing that I fleshed out, and I was just like, okay, this sounds good. I knew Anne was going to be something that had to do with, like, convincing people to do stuff. You're going to be a doctor of sorts that, or Anthony Gabo is going to be a doctor of sorts that could fucking poison people. What do we need? We need a tank. Let's get a guy that just kills people. So yeah, that was.
So what was bad about playing a Lurk?
I don't know. The mechanics in this game is really like not based around somebody being, you know, the character that I was, where he was really good at playing in the shadows, but they, you know, he wasn't supposed to be killing so many goddamn people. Like, he killed a lot of people, and so, like, it became, like, a heavy hitter than he was, like, an actual Lurk. I stopped lurking in the shadows. Mm-hmm. I just started just killing people.
Yeah,
so
he straight up jumped and ran through a crowd and jumped on their heads to get through it.
Anti-lurk. Yeah, I was the anti-lurk.
So like, I guess the bad here is that you would have liked to be more flashy with your kills.
And this is one of the things that's it's not a criticism of the game itself, but it's really, really easy to get really good at something in Blades in the Dark. And then it just kind of makes you OP for the rest of the game. Like, Skirmish, I had four dice from, like, episode 3. And that's, like, the one fucking thing where you need to kill somebody is dice. So, like, I was rolling four dice. They could push myself. There's five. Five chances to get 1-6. Like, I was just killing people left and right. So that was, like, one of the things. It's like, dude, I can just kill people so easily. Like, good thing we're assassins and we can do this. And so that's one of the things that I, you know, it's really, really easy just to become OP and just.
Well, I mean, but on the other hand, you said it earlier, it felt like the odds were always against us and you rolled really shitty as a GM. So
you can be
OP, but the game does keep you in check. You only had like a couple perfect kills.
Yeah, true.
You know, I mean, like it. So I think it's pretty balanced.
Yeah.
What about you, Mr. X? What was your character? You were and then what was good about that character type? What was bad? Oh, and sorry, O'Neill, would you play? What character would you like to try next time if you play Blades again?
No idea.
Okay. Gabba.
So Mr. X was a leech?
Yes.
I haven't looked at the classes in a while. Basically, he was an alchemist. So the pro to this class, maybe at least as far as what we were doing, is also the con. And that was the amount of freedom you had with the alchemical concoctions that you could make. It basically got to the point where I could say whatever the fuck I wanted, and it's like, okay, well, I made it because I've got a lab somewhere and it doesn't matter. You know, I'm educated. I know how to mix chemicals. I've got whatever I want.
As long as the ingredients are tangible in the world, yeah.
And it just kind of made it too easy. I think it's in some spots it was like, well, I mean, it's kind of stupid, but hey, I've got access to all these chemicals, so I'm just going to fucking do this, I guess.
As a GM, it made it easy to play, though, because you're going to be like, I need these ingredients. I'm like, okay, well, you got to go to this store to get it. Like, you know, like it made it to where it took the boring shit out of the game. And you're like, yeah, I have a sleeping powder now. Cool. Let's use it. Right.
Oh, yeah. And I didn't mean it like in that way that I need to go collect ingredients. Like, oh, I've got a giant balloon that's full of arsenic and I'm going to pop it above the city. And really, if I rolled for it, it's not like you could have said no.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unless, you know. I mean, story-wise, sure. Well,
it's always within the GMs, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But, okay. You know.
No, I can see that, definitely. That is a pro and a con. Well put. So, is there another character type you would have liked to have tried? Or next time you play, maybe try something different?
I mean, I would definitely try something different. Honestly, I'd probably try to find something with the most weaknesses. just to make it funner. Because I kind of agree with O'Neill. It feels like you can get really OP very quickly.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it only ends up being in a very small category of things.
Yeah. Okay. And Anne-Marie, what about you? Your character type was?
A slide. And I feel like the total opposite of these guys. But then again, I think I wasn't leveling up as I should.
You leveled up for the long con.
Well, I had like two, like I should have had like way more dots on my levels, looking back on it. But the thing was, I only leveled up maybe like one or two dots during communication, which is what I'm good at anyways. But when you're hanging out with like these two hotheads who like to freaking fight, you can't really talk your way out of a sword, right? You're like,
right.
Wait, dude, how will you put that down? Right? You can't really do that. So I try to like add a couple little things to like my physical abilities. So that way I'm like, well, I'm able to talk it to him and then get him close to them. Maybe I could like stab him, which as y'all knew, turned out terribly. So I'm like, maybe if I had like an extra dice there, even if I pushed myself, I had an extra thing, but I'm like, God, I'm like, that was hard. Like trying to deal, like I'm good at the talking part, but not so much at the fighting part.
I feel like you all could have been Firefly characters.
Oh yeah!
You all fit into like the. It's like Blades in the Dark was made after Firefly.
So
where I'm just Jane, just killing everything.
Yeah, you're Jane.
I'm not good at talking. Like,
I'm Inara for sure. Inara.
Yeah, it's
who would I be? Who would I be?
You could.
You're kind of
Simon, the doctor.
Kind of Simon, but you could fight better, right? But yeah. Yeah, like exactly. I was
just
like
a little more murderous.
All of these characters, you realize all these characters like fit into a mold into Firefly. I thought about that a lot. Anyway, so what was a negative for your character type then?
As soon as combat happened, I felt like I was just like, what? I don't know what to do now.
Yeah, you did hit your stride in episode 8. You're like, wait, I can be sneaky. Let me just try to sneak through this fight. You did it.
I finally put like some dots on certain parts.
Yeah.
Because like I can mesmerize somebody to forget this encounter, but I can't mesmerize them like, hey, and put your gun down kind of thing. Like that's where I felt like I thought originally I could almost like hypnotize them and kind of convince them to do something for me. But then again, that's, you know, me, the Crown of Thorns from Dungeons and Dragons, where I'm like, you can do that. That would be very helpful.
Yeah.
Or if I had like intimate relations with somebody, I can convince them to a little bit easier. But I'm like, well, my character didn't sleep with everybody. Yeah. So
I feel like your class would work well if you had more time to converse with your fellow players. Like if you had more time to knock out battle strategies rather than, you know, kind of what we're doing where we're just like, fuck it, let's go.
Yeah. Well, there's a part with the guards where I convince them to drink the wine. And, you know, like, but when there's a giant group of people, like when we're on that, sitting around that group to do the little heist with all the carriages, like I can't convince 10 people really because it's 10 people. That's like 10 different roles, I feel like. So,
yeah, it'll be interesting to see like what the listeners think. But I feel like there were episodes where we got to really see Dr. X. I noticed I called him Dr. X this time. Really, like, this fits for you.
What do you want?
Fortuna, this fits for you. We will solve the problem with Fortuna's skill, with Dr. X's and Avarice's skill. There were episodes where each of you got to be like, okay, let me step ahead here. This is my deal. I also want to point out that I feel like you guys as a gang actually had a lot of heart through the whole thing, even though this game is made to be like, fucking, you're just dicks in this world trying to, you know, but everything you did, like, and the story helped, but like there were very noble causes. Like even Dr. X had like reasons to do what he was doing, and he wasn't a complete asshole. So I feel like that made you guys even more interesting. So what was your favorite part of this world playing in Duskfall?
Oh, you're not going to ask me about what I'd pick next time.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead. I just noticed nobody had a good answer for that, so I thought,
well,
fuck it.
We didn't get to explore any of the ghosts, So yeah. I would definitely want to be somebody who can commune with the ghost and maybe use the ghost as an extra tool to maybe like necromancer-ish to try to do.
This, I've heard other players in live play like use that a lot. Because in the end, there are quite a few more ghosts than you actually ran into. I tried to sprinkle them in as much as I could. But yeah, no, I agree. I think that would be interesting, too.
I will say one thing for our listeners. If anybody's played this before, please let us know if we just absolutely fucked everything up. If we played our classes completely wrong.
No, keep it to yourself.
Sean fucked it up. And I will tell you this. Fine print. Yeah, no, I didn't follow the book exactly 100%. We're going to be going through a lot of different games. I don't think we're going to become experts by any means.
No.
If somebody's played this thing for over a year, you're going to be better at it.
You know
than
what's
us.
Funny?
That's that not learned, really our goal.
I still want to know.
I learned something.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. Please do.
I learned something after the game is finished, is that when you push yourself, it's two stress, not one.
Yeah.
So... You know, we all ended up with like 10 stress from either helping each other
is
or pushing
ourselves.
It's too
fucking stress.
It's too fucking stress. Shut the
fuck up. I just apologize now.
We'd all be dead already.
You guys would have
so dead.
Because you were, that's why you guys are like fucking every time, like, yeah, I'll have a fucking stress.
Yeah. I would just push myself.
Here, I have 10 dice. I'm Avarice.
Why even do this? Push myself. One stress. Fucking.
So what was your favorite part of the world? What do you like about Duskvale? A very different world than we've played in other tabletop games.
I really just like the whole, like you said, Firefly feeling, but like it's like dark. It's dreary. There's like just no real good outcomes. So everyone just like has a shit life and you're still trying to save it in some weird kind of way, but still try to find like something for yourself. So I really liked the feeling how there's like lightning. You don't go past the city, which was kind of nice to herd everybody into one section.
You can have so much more fun with the borders.
Oh
yeah.
So like, yeah, we didn't even get to that.
No, like you guys are rats in it. Yeah, no, I agree. I agree.
Well, so one of my favorite things, and you mentioned this in one of the episodes, I don't remember which. I love the movie Gangs of New York. This game feels like fucking Gangs of New York, like to a T. Like there is a gang for everything. They all have their own territories,
the waterways. Dude. Yes.
And it turn into a free for all fuck fest, and you could do gang battles very easily in this game.
And like that's the aspect of it I love is that this feels like San Andreas, you know, where you're just trying to gang battle and take over your little portion of town and then spread from there. That's the portion I like about it is just like this world is so well thought up. Like John Harper, like kudos to you.
Absolutely.
Like I would watch a show based off this city all that kind of stuff.
Oh,
like,
hell
I'm,
yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm so into it.
Oh, make a series off this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's such a beautiful world. Shit. And they did such a good job with like everything that you can do and that's happening in this world.
Yes.
And it's all so dark. And I really hope that, you know, he's not like this in real life, or this is just coming from a dark part of his soul from living through 2020.
Yeah, he grew up in Temecula. Yeah. Fucking LA. I will tell you that I would love to play this game again.
Oh yeah.
I would love to play as a player. I would love to DM another game. Like Blades is I'm so glad we did this podcast so I could find that book.
Yeah.
Like holy shit. So hey, did the game play out the way you guys thought it would? So coming into it, you made your characters, you had your goals. Did it play out the way you thought it would?
Well, so one thing I had as far as how we did stuff and it's our first time doing this. I expected there to be a lot more character conversations and role playing.
Well, I thought there was plenty of role playing. I feel like I was talking a lot. Like the last couple episodes, maybe that's why it's like kind of fresh. We were fighting a lot, but I thought we're constantly trying to bicker and talk between people and not get on any people's bad side and trying to like convince people. But then, I don't know. That was my whole character was role playing. Talking to people, so I'm like, I thought it was great. I thought we had a good mix.
I'll tell you that by episode 3, Hot Richard, you guys hit your stride because that is not D&D, right? We said it from the beginning. This game is a conversation, and you didn't do that. You were still playing D&D in my eyes until episode 3. Then you really embraced this is a conversation. It is role playing, and that's how you play this game. And yes, there are dice rolls, but that, and then, I mean, by the end, it was second nature for you. You played it so fucking well. You weren't like, I'm just going to kill this guy now. You're like, no, I'm going to talk to him. Hey, like how you convinced that one guy to snap his neck. Like you went through a whole thing instead of being like, I stab him. Like, you're no, yeah. like, no, I'm going to talk to him. Like you guys really, really shined in the end on that.
I mean, a lot of that was me just stabbing him with a pointing end, but that's what I do.
Episode 3 was just all role play. That was a good one. The Hot Richard.
Old habits die hard as far as the earlier stuff.
Yeah. And we'll have to get out of our Blades in the Dark mode when we jump to Monster of the Week.
Monster of the Week.
And try and do that thing. So.
I'm so excited for that one because it's been a long time since me and Sean actually played like a game together. Like, it's always been like him as the DM or me as the DM.
God, it's been years.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like, he did like a year and a half of Dungeons and Dragons where he was the DM and a phenomenal one at that first time.
Oh.
And then, like, we started up this podcast and immediately I was the DM for fucking Dungeons and Dragons. They're like, I want to see what you would do. I'm like, fuck. All right. And then immediately he was like, I want to do Blades in the Dark, dude. That sounds amazing. And I went, shit balls. That's the one I wanted. All right. Let me just pick something else random. And then I eventually found out about Coyote and Crow, which I'm going to do when they finish it. Hopefully here in 2021, slated for like this Christmas time. So
hopefully.
I mean, it might not happen. They're having a little
just get a backup.
Anyway, honestly, we'll be like, playing Coyote and Crow. No problem.
I want to do that next. Yeah. The artwork is beautiful so far, and I think that's the one thing they have a problem on is just finding artists to
that'll work really it. Well for our podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll give me plenty of time to get my story fleshed out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No. We got plenty more coming for you guys. So now that you've played Blades in the Dark, what would be your elevator speech for someone for what this game is?
What is this, fucking English class?
Sorry, we have a tradesman in the house. An elevator speech.
Yeah.
Because you're a podcaster, is somebody's going to be like, well, you're going to be like, oh, yeah, the first game we played was Blades in the Dark. Well, what's that?
Ooh.
A dark dystopia place where you are a gang, so you do some bad shit, do some good shit just for your own justification. Also, there's ghosts, there's zombies, there's vampires. Hopefully you don't run into those, but if you do, then it's usually a good time.
But why would I want to play this game?
Oh,
you could be a piece of shit and not feel bad about it.
Ooh.
Ooh. Hashtag Mr. X. Drop that mic.
Do it. don't really drop the mic.
They were expensive.
I did drop the mic.
Yeah.
Like
the $600 mics that he bought.
You
for
really
all of us.
Can. Oh. Unless you're Billy, you don't get away with that.
No. This is my usually go to. It's like, hey, do you like steampunk? Oh, yeah, I love steampunk. You like Blades in the Dark.
Yeah.
And I feel like John Harper didn't want it to be like, it's steampunk. Because I think steampunk, I think the idiots with the fucking top hats and gears glued to it, this is not that game.
I didn't get a steampunk vibe
on
it at all.
I get steampunk vibe. There's carriages, there's guns, there's supernatural.
There's carriages and Dungeons and Dragons too.
No, I mean.
It's not steampunk.
This setting is.
The fucking Oregon Trailhead wagons.
Is the Industrial Revolution, so a little bit more. I always and maybe I'm off. I always think of steampunk as like fucking Wild Wild West, Western
Jim
meets,
West,
Western oh. meets
Desperado
tech, right? And
there's
I'm like, ugh. And then there's and the, yeah. So no, I'm probably thinking of it wrong, and I apologize to any listener who's like a hardcore steampunk fan. But
who you just called fucking idiots.
This is, I'm sorry.
There's a cool comic book called like Lady Mechanica or whatever. And like, that's kind of where it feels like, or there is one that's, I think it's like a Batman where it is like meets like steampunk like this, but it's always dark and stuff like that. It doesn't mean it's like, mechanical, but it's just
fair
that kind of era.
Enough. Yeah, no, fair enough.
That's just how I pictured the land. Cause it has some technology. It has buildings. It's like, dystopia kind of era. Like,
I guess
yeah.
I gave it. I feel like this is not like anything I've heard. Like it's. I think to get somebody to picture it, I think steampunk is a good way to illustrate that, and then they can associate with something quite quickly.
So let's elevator speech for Gabba. I pointed at Sean, but I meant Gabba.
Well, that was my elevator speech. You can be a piece of shit and not feel bad about it.
Perfect. Yeah. You, Sean, why would you want somebody to DM or play this game?
Oh, I would just call it a game with a lot of spirits and demons as well as, like, you know, turn of the century technology and a shit ton of gangs. I've always used that Gangs of New York way of telling it. And that's what you're up against. And by the way, your goal is to kind of rise above the ranks. And it's just an open world, and the gameplay is way easier and more fun, especially if you're into role playing. If you just want to fight and you want to read a character sheet and fight,
yeah,
then go play something else, because this isn't that game.
Yeah, that's mine. It's like, this isn't like pen and paper, have a ruler and a compass and fucking do statistics and everything. God. This is role playing. This is a conversation about making a heist.
This is a conversation like that one.
Yeah, this is a conversation about making a heist. And then it's like you mentioned quite a few times, is
Ocean's 11.
Yeah.
It's like the montage scene where they're robbing. That's exactly how this game is played out.
Yeah. Ocean's 11 meets Gangs of New York.
Yep.
So, all right. So would you guys play again?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Would you DM again?
I'd love to play it, but I would absolutely DM again. I think this world is so much fun. There's so much to pull from. Like, I flipped through the pages. I was like, this gang would be cool. There's so many gangs I wanted to put into this. I started to incorporate the Silver Nails, and I'm like, we don't have time. We don't have time to really get into them. But I went the direction of power and sex and all that. I could have gone the direction of, you know, the Leviathan Hunters and those guys. Like, there are so many different fucking underworlds in this town that, man, you can just go nuts. So you have plenty to pull from in such a small book.
Oh yeah, we didn't even scratch the surface of this game.
Hell
either.
No.
Yeah.
Definitely
hell
play no. this so that you can get deeper into it.
Yeah.
And deeper.
So I appreciate it. I appreciate you guys giving me the opportunity to do it. It was definitely an experiment, right? This is our first time not playing a game before and basing a whole podcast on it. So no, I definitely had fun, and super happy with what we did. Super happy with what all of you did.
Not bad for first try.
Yeah.
We'll do better next time.
Yeah. And we'll get better as we go along. That's just the nature of things. You practice.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, how to get to Carnegie Hall? Drinking.
Dicks.
What?
But just enough.
Practice.
Dicks.
Yeah.
You got to sit at a 0.012 like Mr. Leahy.
Rip Leahy.
Yeah, RIP, bud. And then we can just have that sign out right there, and we're done.
All right. Thanks for listening to Oops, We Broke the Multiverse. This was our wrap-up episode for
season one. Oh, okay. We want to do an actual sign-off. Cool. Now. Before, it's just been like, oh, you don't need
we
to
should
do
probably
a sign
a host next time.
I mean, if it gets me out of doing anything else. Yeah, I'll do it.
Hey.
I'm your host, Anthony O'Neill. To my right, as always, is Sean Cruz. Across the table is our special guest. You can check her out next season.
Don't you go checking her out.
Don't go checking out his wife.
Check out Hot Ann at...
No!
I will be a special guest again.
Yeah! You heard it here first!
Perpetual special guest.
Ann, aren't you an artist? Yeah. Plug yourself, special guest.
You go Ann Mare Cruz on Instagram, and you can see all my tattoos.
That's Annmare. I did not spell it wrong.
It's the French spelling.
Your mom will be proud.
Rhonda.
It's really Anne Marie, but there's no E at the end of Anne, and there's no I at Marie, and there's a fucking accent over the E. Thanks, Mom.
And, of course, across the table from me is another Leo Anthony.
Producer extraordinaire.
Yeah. Rawr. J. Jonah Jameson. And I'm your host, Anthony O'Neill. I say it twice because I'm most important. Thank you, and catch us next time.
Thank you, and good night.
Fuck all of you. We don't appreciate you at all.
We appreciate all of you for listening. I don't know. Fuck. Catch us next season.
That wasn't
when
a dig at you. I'm assuming he's stopped by now.
Thank you, and catch us next season as we play Monster of the Week, DM'd by Anthony Gabba.
Da da da.